this week on the eBay for Business podcast.
To allow sellers to be part of the marketing and allow them to do what's right. They know their buyers. They know what works. As the improvements to the store's experience roll out, you will see more of those marketing capabilities because we know that sellers really do understand how to market their products. They are experienced in it, and we need to give them the capability to do that.
I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information, inspiration to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 145. Welcome back to the co-host chair, Rebecca.
I am delighted to be here, Griff, and I'm so happy to see you.
Well,
now, my question for you is, how is your sabbatical going? We're halfway through June.
I predict that I'm having a great time because, as you know, we're recording these the last week of May, so I'd have to be predictive. But let's pretend, shall we? Hey, Rebecca, how are you? Glad to join you during my sabbatical here in June.
So nice to talk to you in the future, Griff. What are you up to?
Well, I'm poolside in my backyard, even though I don't have a pool, and I'm enjoying this month a lot. I don't have to do anything.
Well, thanks for checking in with us here in the middle of your sabbatical.
Right.
Wink,
all,
wink.
And all serious aside, we are recording these in advance so that I actually am taking time off. So if you're listening now and you're thinking of me, thank you. Note some things, though, Rebecca. I won't be monitoring our Facebook group and I won't be answering questions there. So if you wonder why I'm absent, it's because I'm taking time off.
But that doesn't mean that our listeners can't discover any breaking news or announcements. Remember, check out the Seller News Announcements board. That's the best way to stay informed.
Yeah, it's great advice.
And I just checked the roster for this week, and I see that our CMO and VP of Seller Community, Andrea Stairs, is here.
And she's going to give us some insights into how eBay's marketing now and in the coming months, both on-site and also off-site. And also, Kirsty Dunn is back with us as well. She's got some tips to share, specifically seller tips that were posted during our recent Facebook sweepstakes. And we've gotten such great feedback from sellers and listeners about these that we're going to look to doing more of them in the future.
Such great hints and tips in there. I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'll be back after Kirsty reads those for us, and I'll be here to help answer seller questions.
Excellent. We'll see you then, Rebecca. Last week's episode, Kirsty Dunn and I went through some of the best tips that were submitted on the eBay for Facebook page sweepstakes that were about marketing your business on social media. And as promised, this week, Kirsty rejoins us to go through some of the tips about how do you market your business on eBay. And we have some really good ones to go through. Kirsty, welcome back.
Happy to be back again.
For those who may have missed last week, explain what this process is, how we got these tips.
So we're talking all about either what eBay does to drive traffic to the site or how sellers can use social media or different marketing tactics to drive traffic to their listings and stores and to hopefully secure those sales. And we canvassed all of these awesome hints and tips from the recent Refine Month sweepstakes. So it was a couple of months ago, and it was on our eBay for Business Facebook page, as you said, and we just received hundreds and hundreds of entries and some really awesome tips. It's given us quite a few different podcast segments, which is awesome. And we've heard that these are well received, which is even better. We have a mountain to go through today. I think this was actually the most entries that we'd had in one post. So this is all about what eBay marketing tactics sellers use to drive traffic and drive sales.
The way the sweepstakes works is that for every topic, one tip is selected at random. The team puts them all into a big jar and selects one out. We'll mention who that was. And what does the winner win?
This one was a $100 eBay voucher. And the one at Christmas, at holidays, was $200 eBay voucher. I suspect we're going to probably up it back to $200 for the next one.
We have a lot to get through. So why don't you start us off, Kirsty?
The first one is Nicole DeSanto, one of our top fans on eBay for Business Facebook page. And she always enters the sweepstakes and always has some really insightful tips. She says, sending offers to buyers has been an awesome upgrade to eBay. I make a lot of sales using that I may not have without it. I also use the eBay branded shipping supplies and the eBay branded thank you cards. Thank you goes a long way in business and in life in general. I appreciate it when I get thank you cards in my orders, and I've had buyers specifically acknowledge mine and theirs. yeah, it's nice to be kind and thank you costs nothing. But most importantly, I love that she's using offers to buyers and she's actually getting the sales from it to send the thank you cards in.
Cassandra Hudson says, as soon as I begin my day with a fresh cup of coffee while sitting on my porch watching the sunrise, I send my offers for the day. Promotions are always on with a variable percentage depending on the time of year. As I go through the day, anyone encountered, eBay is mentioned, which leads to my store. I carry business cards to drive traffic to my store. I share my items through social media. I also send eBay thank you cards and stickers to all of my customers. But each and every customer is an opportunity for a loyal customer. Five-star treatment is what they get from start to finish. Take an existing customer and have them so impressed they come back again and again. Oh, and I love eBay.
I want to buy something from her store.
Absolutely. Do feel free to contact us and let us know what your store name is and include it in your future post for any submissions. We'd love to check your stores out.
The next one is Melinda Martin Danner says, sending offers to buyers has been a game changer for both of my eBay stores. I use it daily.
There's that common theme.
And I love that she has two stores. Incredible.
Jennifer Ambrose says, after taking one of the eBay seminars, we implemented promoted listings and immediately got a sale. Thank you. Short and to the point, and yes, it's effective.
I wonder if that was from one of our monthly check-ins or if that was another eBay event, but that's good. She learned something new, she tested it, and it ultimately worked.
Yeah.
Keep it coming. Tammy Powell Carter says, I use all tools available to me, and I get super excited when I see the send offers notification.
There's your theme. I think we're going to hear a lot more of those. Hawe Lukule, I love using offers to watchers, she writes. Most effective for me.
Virginia Bailey says, sending offers every day. Love this feature. Promoting items too.
Sonia Norrid says, I send offers daily to buyers and run promotions once a week at different percentages. I also like to use volume pricing for multiple item listings. Boy, that's a real big one.
Yeah. And I think Trong, who you had on the podcast the other week, I think this is one of his top tips as well and what he uses for his business as well.
His brewing business.
Yes. Wendy Joanne Turner says, I've just started using promoted listings this year and have seen a definite increase in sales.
Another happy promoted listing customer, yeah. Dan Greenleaf says, I regularly do best offers to those watching Buy It Now items. There's been a fair number that will buy or make a counteroffer.
And then Stephanie Todd, she was actually the sweepstakes winner. Yay! She says, we love the send offers feature. That always helps entice buyers. Recently, we've started using the promoted listings feature as well, which has helped too.
So there's the second theme we're seeing. More and more sellers are trying promoted listings. And what's cool about promoted listings is you don't pay unless they work.
Yeah, unless you've sold it. It's worth giving it a go if you haven't already, for sure.
Allison Haveman says, I used to have markdown sales, but I didn't have a lot of luck with that. I send best offers in the morning and evening, and I promote all of my items. For some sellers, some of the promotion options may not be ideal, and Allison discovered that.
So the next one is Leslie Davis, and there is a lot here.
Oh, yes.
One tactic I use to create a sense of urgency is to use best offer to your advantage. If you're like me, you have experience accepting an offer, and then the person doesn't pay for the item. Oh, and it takes a week to be able to relist, wasting your time while losing other watchers on the item. Instead of accepting the offer, which then doesn't require immediate payment, I reject the offer with a message of, thank you for your fair offer. I'm happy to accept, and the item price is being reduced to reflect your offer price. Please note that it is available to all watchers for the reduced price and will remain for 24 hours before reverting back to the original price. I have found that it creates an urgency in the serious buyer to keep someone else from getting it. And if they don't follow through, they most likely weren't going to pay anyway. It also makes it so that they have to immediately pay for the item and other watchers are also notified of the reduced price. So the item almost always sells. It's a great way to use best offer to your advantage.
Oh, that's genius. I love this one. The idea of calmly creating that sense of urgency. Well, thank you for your offer. And I'm going to accept it. If you want to pay, I'm going to reduce the price. Keep a note that there's 100 other people watching the item. So good luck.
Yeah, she's really, really kind of driving that awareness and making sure she gets that sale. I'm assuming that she's maybe had a couple of bad experiences.
It is a gap. And we've talked to Harry Temkin about this on a recent episode, and he teased that they're looking at a solution sometime for the end of the year. So stay tuned. Teresa Cox. Hello, Teresa. She says, I love and use promoted listings on every single listing. I love it because we only have to pay for it if it sells because it was promoted.
And then Danny Hone, another friend of eBay, he said, I've done markdown promotions forever. Have a schedule that I go by. And then he has in block capitals, but coded coupons are coming. I'm hoping tomorrow. And this 1st of April, obviously, because this is when the sweepstakes was. And he's going to aggressively use them, he says. And I actually remember Danny, when we posted the seller news announcement, Danny had actually custom created his own coded coupon because he was so excited. Yeah. And he posted that the Facebook comments. So I know that he has been very excited for this. And obviously it is now live. So I'm sure he is using it for his t-shirt business. I hope they're working well for you, Danny.
I started using them too. I just sent my first one to a buyer. So fingers crossed that they use it. Libby Kunigel Brogi says, I love to use a sale plus markdown for one category in my store for 2 days. Customers love it. So she puts a whole store category on markdown.
Gay Moten Stevens says, I use promoted listings. I accept offers and I send offers. Lately, I've tried sending offers that allow counter offers. I also end and sell similar when the number of views tops 100. We're trying a few different things here.
Yeah, I wonder, that's an interesting one. I wonder what the strategy behind that is. We'll have to ask. Hey, let us know if that works for you. Sophia Seagal says, best offer and promoted listings are my current favorites, of course.
And then Hawa Lukule says, I love using offers to watchers, most effective for me. I think we're seeing a few names come up time and time again. I love this.
Rose Ailes Drake says, definitely see a huge difference since I've started sending offers to buyers. Melinda Napier says, I occasionally do markdown sales with a set percentage off in the entire store. I also send offers to buyers without the counter offer option. I try to list at least one item every day. There you go. She got that in as well. Yeah.
The next one is Denise Martel. I use promoted listings and offers to buyers. Both are very effective. I especially like send offers to buyers, which I do at least once a week.
Yeah, and see, the other common theme about people who are sending offers is they do it on a schedule. Nancy Kunzat says, I recently tried making offers and a few have worked. Yay! Every little bit helps, she says.
Always pays to give it a go, so great that it's working out. Ben Krupke says, I sell my soul for a ka-ching. And I literally just sold something as I typed this. Ha ha. We know how much sellers love that ka-ching sound. Absolutely. And so happy that you sold something while you were entering this.
In the old days of eBay radio, and what's happened a few times on the podcast where we've been talking to a seller and suddenly you'll hear it in the background and they go, yep, just made another sale. That's always good to hear. Yeah.
Such a good noise.
Madhouse says, I like to use promoted listings for higher end items. I don't use the recommended amount. I always stay towards the 2 or 3% and it works well. I also have markdown sales on older inventory. And anytime I get to send offers, I do so as quickly as possible.
Timing is important while the buyer is active.
Yeah, and he also says he doesn't use the eBay recommended amount for the percentage. He tests it below. And if it works for you, mazel tov, you're saving money.
For sure. Yeah. Always pays to test and see what works best for your buyers and your audience. Susan Taylor says, I run promoted listings. I also send out offers to watchers. Sending out offers seems to work best for me.
Yep.
So she's tested. She knows what works best. That's the key to business.
You know, one of the things that goes through my mind is, how did we survive before there was sending out offers? How did business happen?
There's plenty of buyers still there. They're going to find it, but this is just such an awesome marketing tactic, which obviously we've seen has been mentioned so many times, just works.
Christy Peitig says, I use promoted listings on all my items. I believe I have more sales because I list every day. If I'm busy one day, I will still try and get at least one item listed. If something doesn't sell within a couple of weeks, I put a 5% sale on it. Christy Peitig put a link to her eBay store. Her user ID is Peitig's Vintage. I'm going to spell that out so you can check it. P-I-E-T-I-G-S-V-I-N-T-A-G-E. Peitig's Vintage. Go check her out. I'm going to put your link and the transcript as well. Maybe that'll motivate more people to do so.
give it a go. Yeah, we're going to check out your store. And yeah, love that you don't want to keep your inventory kind of for too long. And if it doesn't sell, you put a sale on it because you don't want to have that death pile.
The death pile of listed inventory is worse than a death pile of unlisted.
Yeah, exactly. The final one, last but certainly not least, is Cherry Emerson. And she says, I use the make an offer and respond to an offer. I also had to go out of town for a few days and the time away was great. Absolutely great. That helped. I could take offers, send offers, and also see buyers making purchases.
I'm glad that somebody mentioned the time away. You can use that to actually help market as well. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day doing your regular job to help us in the podcast read through these. The feedback from these has been very positive. They love hearing these tips, and hopefully it'll get more sellers to share tips both on Facebook, eBay for Business Facebook page, but also here on the podcast. Remember, our email address is podcast@ebay.com, and you can also call in your tips or comments at 888-723-4630. Kirstie, I expect you'll be back soon.
I'm sure I will. I would love to. And actually, I want to add that we've actually started sharing these tips at our monthly seller check-ins as well. If you enter one of these sweepstakes, you could be mentioned in a number of different spots.
Well, thanks again. Kirstie Dunn is the eBay Senior Manager of Seller Engagement here at eBay. And we've been reading through all of the great seller tips that were submitted to the eBay for Business Facebook page during their recent sweepstakes that were held in the last few months. There'll be more sweepstakes coming, more prizes to win, and of course, more opportunities for you to get your tips out there and to promote your business. Remember to use your store name or user ID. Every few months, we like to check in with our next guest to learn what's up in the world of eBay buyer marketing and getting that traffic to eBay. And there's no one better to help us keep updated than eBay's Chief Marketing Officer and Vice President of Seller Community, Andrea Stairs. Andrea, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Griff. It's great to be back.
Summer is upon us. Buyers are definitely looking to venture outside of the home, finally after a year. How does this impact how we market to buyers in the next few months?
So we are in the retail moment season, you know, between Mother's Day, Memorial Day, Father's Day, July 4th, a lot of those kind of shopping and gifting moments all sort of crunched together. Definitely spending a lot of time thinking about what we want to put in front of buyers, how we want to engage them in those retail moments, and supporting some of our focus verticals, but also supporting the inventory across the site. And as we know that the pandemic is starting to abate, hopefully, knock on wood, and the world is opening up a little bit, what buyers are looking for is shifting. So we need to respond to that and be there with the inventory that they're looking for now, as opposed to the inventory they were looking for last year or the year before. Really been having to adapt a fair bit as the world has been changing around us. Focusing on retail moments. And then there is a steady drumbeat of marketing that happens all the time, Griff, you know, whether it's engaging new buyers, existing buyers, and continuing for, you know, eBay to tell our story on the site and off the site.
I want to talk a little bit about on the site, and then we'll go to the off the site. Do we promote eBay differently depending on whether we know a buyer is a new buyer or a regular customer of eBay?
Absolutely, we do. We promote eBay differently depending on a whole set of criteria. So it's not just whether you're new or existing. But if you're new, you probably need to have a little bit more education about how eBay works. We also know the categories where new buyers tend to convert more quickly. And so we will tend to surface that inventory up first. A trick with a new buyer is you want to get them into a buying habit as quickly as possible. So we look at things like repurchase rate. How frequently is a buyer coming back? What we don't want are one and dones. You came, you found one thing, and then, you know, you're not coming back again. So it's really our job to re-engage that new buyer. And we'll use a series of different tactics. We'll use incentives in some cases, so coupons. We'll also use targeted emails. The on-site experience, what the new buyer sees on the homepage might be different. So yeah, we're doing a lot of targeting in the background to get the right message, the right inventory, the right incentive to the right buyer. And then when we know more about you as a buyer, then your experience of eBay will be quite different. You'll start to see the inventory that we know that you really like. So if you're a trading card, you know, passionate enthusiast, you love motors and cars and auto parts, you're like me and love handbags, you will see really different versions of eBay show up based on what we know about you. And that means that we're creating creative that is targeted to you or me We're thinking about a customer who loves handbags as we're creating the creative, and then we're targeting that creative to people who, for example, have searched in that category, have watched an item, have obviously bought in the category. And then there are algorithmic sets of creative that are running on the homepage. So you can see, for example, items similar to the ones that are in your watched list, or items that are similar to items that you've searched. Those are sophisticated algorithms that are running in the background, looking for inventory that matches or is similar to what you have shown interest in. All of that is taken together to create a more engaging experience for the buyers and to really get them over the hump of next purchase. We know that that is a key element of our job. And so that's happening on site. That's happening in email. That's happening in push notifications, which have become incredibly important. So these are the notifications. Anyone downloads the app, they have the ability to get notifications from eBay. And those notifications are becoming really powerful as the world shifts from a desktop world to a mobile world. But they're really small. So you have to really make sure that you've got the right content in that push notification. You can't go, it's not like an email where you can kind of scroll down and down, right? You need to, that one magic item to be there to drive engagement from the buyer. Griff, it's like there's a ton of science and targeting going on in the background to try and show up as eBay in a personalized way that is really engaging to whatever buyer happens to be coming to the site.
I hadn't really thought of it before, but there is a push notification on my app that just always gets me to open the wallet, throw the money in, and that's the one that says, you've only got like an hour left before this item is over. Are you sure you just want to walk away from it?
It's incredibly effective.
It is.
Yeah. Anything that has an urgency to it will obviously drive that engagement. So whether it's the auction's ending or the seller has reduced the price for a limited time or there's a coupon, anything that has that limited feeling or that feeling that you're getting a special deal or don't miss out, right? The fear of missing out, basically. Anytime we can play on FOMO, that definitely works.
I'm a regular seller and buyer, so I think I see it from both ends. eBay does not want to let me forget that there's things that I've been interested in on the site. And so those push notifications and emails, I get them in email as well, have been very effective. So if you're a seller on eBay and you're doing all you can by sending best offers or seller-initiated offers, eBay's working with you on this as well. You may not see it because it's what the buyer sees, but we are not letting buyers just walk away from something they've expressed interest in. And I love that because it keeps the packages coming to my house.
Well, yeah. And we know that, you know, the more a buyer engages, obviously the more valuable they are, and they tend to create a habit, right? Shopping is, it's about consumer behavior. It's about habits. If you can create a habit of coming to eBay for different occasions or different shopping needs, buying needs, that's the holy grail, right? We want a whole bunch of buyers out there for whom eBay is part of the short set of sites or stores or shops that they consider. And we're part of their habit. And so anything that we can do to kind of lean into creating that habit is absolutely something that we'll do. And you know, Griff, this is where our incentives as kind of the employees at eBay, the folks who run the platform, are completely aligned to the sellers. We're all there to entice buyers and get them to convert and to open their wallet, as you said.
What are the things that a seller can do for on-site marketing to their existing customer base to help keep them coming back?
This is a definite focus area. To allow sellers to be part of the marketing and allow them to do what's right. They know their buyers. They know what works. And so we're launching coupons, a coupon functionality, and improving the coupon functionality that sellers can use. Certainly as kind of the improvements to the store's experience roll out, you will see more of those kind of marketing capabilities because we know that sellers really do understand how to market their products. They are experienced in it, and we need to give them the capability to do that. And I would say, Griff, we're doing a lot of research right now, and something that has really come to the fore is how much eBay is special in that we don't anonymize our sellers. Sellers can say who they are. They can put on their stores where they're from, where they source their inventory. They sell under their own name, under their own brand. And increasingly, that's really distinct and different. And it is something that when we survey buyers, it is that humanness, knowing who you're trading with, knowing who you're buying from, knowing some of the history, being able to talk to the seller, that is something that really pops in our research. It really is something that I personally am seized with, but I think the leadership overall, in terms of how can we allow sellers to lean into that idea of creating a brand, of marketing themselves, their store, their product, and really connecting what they do on eBay to other marketing that they do, whether it's in social media or elsewhere. How do we create that connection? So I think those are all themes that are very much underlying a lot of the work that we're doing, particularly in the stores, as we kind of refresh the stores experience.
I thought we'd talk a little bit about what we do offsite, specifically when it comes to other websites, any advertising on the internet, and then specifically how we utilize social media to get people onto eBay.
Yeah, happy to talk about that.
So let's start with the offsite. What's our biggest focus this year for offsite marketing?
We talked about sellers not seeing some of the marketing that we do and buying onsite. It's the same offsite. We tend to focus a lot of our investment in what we call the lower funnel of marketing, which is where we see a lot of conversion versus brand creation or other outcomes. It could be in paid search, buying ads on Google and Bing, for instance, or our affiliate program, where we partner with smaller publishers to get eBay products out there, and again, in a way that buyers can very easily convert. And then we complement that with more what we would call mid and upper funnel activities. Mid funnel would be things where you might not have an immediate conversion, but we're kind of popping up in a moment where you're considering something. You came to the site, you looked at something, we're going to serve that back to you on Facebook, or we're going to show you it again in a display banner somewhere.
That's how that works.
that's how it works. Yeah. And then upper funnel would be, we're just going to tell you about eBay and we're not trying to get you to do something immediately. So that's where it's more about awareness. Radio plays there, video plays there, TV does play there as well. We're always managing the mix. We think about marketing as a full funnel approach. So we're managing those different channels and making sure that we've got the right mix. And it's constantly something that we're fine tuning. But overall, it's accounting for tens of millions of dollars every month.
I notice that when I'm on the internet or social media, that explains that tightness between what I'm doing at the moment and what I'm seeing for an ad. I'll give you an example. I'm revisiting my film camera hobby. I've been a collector for years of old film cameras, and I've kind of let them sit. Now it's time to get rid of some and buy some new ones. You know, when you're a collector, you're always trying to upgrade the quality of your collection. It's really important to be always buying up. And I notice now that the marketing across most of the channels that I use offsite of eBay, be that Facebook or other websites, that I'm seeing a lot more eBay advertising. So you guys are following me and it's effective.
It is. Marketing doesn't stand still. And so as new platforms open up, they open up new advertising opportunities for us. And it's down to, you know, my team and others across eBay to figure out what is the best way for us to use those new channels, those new platforms, those new sites to tell the eBay message. And that's been something that's been really fun in the last 12 months. We have been really focused on some of these new social channels, particularly as we're trying to really appeal and position ourselves in front of new buyers and particularly young buyers. We can't just ignore the younger end of the millennial kind of age group and Gen Z. These are future buyers and they're active buyers now. How do we use the platforms that they're on to tell the eBay story? And that's been really interesting and super engaging for my team. Platforms like TikTok and Twitch and Clubhouse, how do we show up there? And so a lot of work going to that. And then big platforms like Facebook and Instagram, how do we fine tune the way that we show up on those platforms? Because they are incredibly powerful. Everyone can just think about their own habits and think about how long they spend every day on platforms like Facebook and Instagram to understand how important it is that we are there and that we're there in a way that is persuasive, that fits into that atmosphere, you know, that we're not jarring the way that we show up, and yet that we are capturing people's interest. So that's sort of where, you know, art meets science in marketing is how to do that well.
That's always fascinated me, especially when it comes to reaching a younger demographic, like the potential buyers that would be on TikTok or Twitch, because they're really savvy about marketing and they know when the marketing is blatant, and yet we want to still persuade them. How do we manage that balance so that we're not over promoting or turning people off?
Absolutely, Griff. That is absolutely the challenge. You want to show up authentically. You want to show up as eBay. You don't want to pretend to be somebody else, but you do want to engage, and you want to engage in a way that they want to be engaged with. For example, on TikTok, we've been doing a lot of work in support of sneakers on TikTok. And one of the key things there is working with influencers, creators who are already on the platform and are already successful on the platform. And we're sort of learning from them. we're working with them as opposed to coming in and saying, we know how to do this. We're coming to them and saying, how do we do this? And, you know, give us your guidance and we'll work with you. And it's been amazingly successful. So our first sneakers activation or campaign on TikTok was hashtag lace them up. And we ended up with 5 billion with a B hashtag views as a result of that campaign. And that was down to working with creators who are native to the platform, who understand the platform, understand the audience, understand how to position a brand in front of the audience in a way that is authentic, has cut through, isn't offensive, isn't jarring.
Is there a way to translate on our end exactly how effective those 5 billion hashtag views were when it comes to purchases on the site? That seems like a challenge. How do you tie those two things together?
So it is a challenge. As I said, there's plenty of challenge in marketing. As the world keeps on shifting, the things that you knew how to do before become, you know, less relevant. No, absolutely. It is a challenge. But we also are measuring things all the time, like awareness of eBay amongst certain cohorts of buyers, consideration, purchase intent. Those surveys really do help to inform us in terms of what's working. In our surveys, we ask, where did you hear about eBay? Where are you seeing our advertising? Is it persuasive? We do tests around creative. Do people click on the links? What do they think? Can they attribute that this ad is from eBay or do they think it's from somebody else? A lot of testing going on in the background to make sure that we have the right creative, that it's cutting through, that the information in the creative or in the ad is actually the information that the buyer is taking away. And then we're measuring all sorts of brand metrics like awareness and consideration. That's giving us a sense of how we're doing. But no, the direct connection can be a challenge, particularly as we're doing things that may not have a direct conversion. Lace Them Up was about eBay being present in sneakers. It wasn't advertising a specific product. When you are a little bit more distanced from that specific product and the link to go and buy, it's harder to measure. Definitely, that's a challenge.
But we do end up seeing some results that we can at least attribute some of the success about those results. For example, our recent vertical focus on sneakers, on luxury watches, the success of these has depended in great part to what our marketing strategies and tactics were.
Absolutely. You know, we've just announced for our Q1 earnings that sneakers had grown by triple digits again for another quarter. And that's down to great inventory, great sellers, a much improved experience, but also getting the message out. We need to tell people that we're here and that that inventory and that experience is available. And so, yeah, marketing is very much part and parcel of that success.
And I think it's important to mention here that when there's a buyer outreach for a specific focus vertical, like sneakers, for example, we don't just talk to the world at large, come and look at sneakers. However, we actually make that message happen. We alert our sellers, hey, this is what we're doing. You want to get your inventory ready.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that's really important is you're hearing us talk a lot about a pretty limited set of vertical sneakers, watches, certified refurb. The amazing thing is that it's allowing us to get real cut through in different audiences, which is great. But also what we see is that those buyers don't just buy in those categories. In fact, I think it's 80% of what sneakers buyers are buying is in other categories. The great news is that we're able to connect with those buyers, many of them new, with a really relevant message, introduce eBay, get them to convert on a sneakers purchase. But then they're in this amazing world where everything else is available to them and they go on to buy other things. And so I think it's really important to realize the positive flywheel that we create with some of this targeted marketing.
Marketing has been for years, here's our message, here's our product, here's why you should buy from us, and you push it out there. Social is different. In social, you have to engage. So your customer is going to talk back to you in a public forum in a way that can be really helpful or sometimes be a little challenging, a little daunting. What are we looking for the people that are on our teams that are actually on the front lines engaging with buyers on social?
You were talking earlier about the expectation of the consumer and us showing up in the right way on these different channels. Social is a two-way conversation. And as we have launched our handles in sneakers and watches, we've also been hiring more folks called community managers. And their job is to have that two-way conversation. Their job is to answer questions, deal with issues that people are flagging in the direct messages or in comments to posts or elsewhere on the internet. People have an expectation that when they post to a company, that the company will respond. Certainly, as we are investing more into social, that is a key area of focus because there is an expectation of that two-way conversation. and you're not being marketed at, you're engaging in a conversation with a brand. And we're seeing real success with that, but we have a long way to go, I would say, on that particular front.
Although I would say that in my experience, we're actually pretty good at it, but it is a challenge. But I think a challenge.
Maybe my bar is a little higher. But yeah, no, I think, look, it's the reality is that that's where a lot of people are getting their information, and we need to be there, and we need to be there in a way that allows us to meet or exceed the expectations of the consumers who are engaging with us. I think that, as in many other places, our focus vertical strategies, looking at sort of these narrow slices of the business or of the marketplace, has allowed us to go faster and have deeper learnings that we can then apply to the rest of the marketplace. And I would say social has been one of those places. We have more than 10,000 followers on our sneakers handle. Recently, we got to 5,000 followers on our watches handle. And we are having that two-way conversation, and we're learning what it takes. You know, what works, what doesn't work, how we connect what happens in social to what happens in customer support. It is quite complicated, particularly when you do it at eBay scale, which is massive, but huge amount of learnings and, you know, mapping the future direction for the overall marketplace.
What would you tell a seller who asks, what is eBay going to be doing for marketing when it comes to the holidays? And we're going to talk more about this in August. What would you say to that seller?
I would tell that seller that we have been having holiday marketing meetings for 2 months already, at least 2 or 3 months. I think we started planning holiday in February. I'm just thinking back now, Griff. I think that's far longer than 2 months.
Yes.
All that to say that we are very actively planning. We are, again, this year having to deal with the unknown of what holiday looks like. But we do think that there's some trends that are likely to show up. So we think that there is going to be what they're calling the roaring 20s, right? People are going to want to get back out there. They're going to want to buy things that help them celebrate. So parties are going to be back on the agenda. Travel will be back on the agenda. Visiting family and having larger gatherings. Those are some of the trends that are informing how we think about holiday this year. I won't spill all the secrets just yet, but I will say that it is very, very much being actively planned, and basically watch this space.
Well, Andrea, it's always a pleasure. We'll look forward to speaking with you again, perhaps in August, about what's up for holidays.
Awesome. That'd be great. Thanks, Chris.
Andrea Stairs is the eBay Chief Marketing Officer and Vice President of Seller Community.
It's time for You Got Questions.
That means it's time for We Got Answers.
Okay. How many questions do we have this week, Griff?
Two questions, Rebecca. We have two questions. Remember, if you have a question and you submit it to us via either podcast at ebay.com or 888-723-4630, and we read it on an episode, we'll send you an official eBay for Business podcast mug suitable for the beverage of your choice.
But remember to include your shipping address. Our first question was called in to 888-723-4630. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Eddie Veal. My question is about shipping heavy items. We sell plates. And when you sell a plate, the first plate can be very heavy because you got to include the box, the shipping, and the packing materials. If your buyer buys the second plate, it's not double the weight. It's normally a lot less than that. So when you try and combine shipping, that's okay. We can do it afterwards. But a lot of time, our customers want to know right away what their shipping price is going to be. They don't want to have to email us and say, hey, how much is it going to be after I combine shipping? So I wish eBay would make a way so that way we can say, I have 10 plates. If I sell one plate, the box weighs 2 pounds. But if I sell an additional second plate, the added weight is only one more pound, right? That way we can calculate our shipping better. I really wish we had that option.
Thanks, Ed. That's a really good question. But Griff, it sounds kind of complicated. Is there a solution?
It is complicated. And what you're looking for, Ed, that feature that you're talking about, it doesn't exist today. I think it's highly unlikely that the exact thing that you're looking for is ever going to be a feature on eBay. But there are existing features that can help you accomplish what you need to accomplish. And the first is combined shipping. There's a pro to combined shipping. It's pretty easy to set up. And it lets you set it up pretty much the way you just ask. But there is an issue with it. It's global. So it applies to all your listings, not just to the listings for plates. Might not work for you. I'm going to put the link to that page in the transcript so you could at least read about it. The second is a promotion called Shipping Discount. Now, this is part of our promotion manager set of tools that you'll find in Seller Hub under the Marketing tab. The specific promotion is called Shipping Discount. An order shipping offer is a conditionally based offer in which you provide a promotional shipping cost and a class of service for a group of eligible items when the buyer meets your specific conditions. You can select up to 3 promotional shipping classes and respective costs per offer. This type of offer is a great way to extend the holiday shopping season, for an example, for people who want to buy more gifts from you. But it may not work exactly the way you want it when you're talking about your scenario, which is a specific item in multiple quantities in a single listing. And the tool that I think is going to work best for you in this one is volume pricing. This is the one I've used for exactly the same sort of situation you're describing with your plates. So I think it's the best option. It provides discounts for multiple purchases from a multi-quantity fixed price listing, like for plates. For me, it was bags, but it's the same thing. And the key to its success, however, is to take the buyer's focus off of shipping costs and discounts and focus it on item price discounts.
Right, because buyers shouldn't be calculating and weighing shipping costs. Having to juggle scenarios like what class of service will be used, the size of the box, how many in the box, different weight, that's too much to ask of any buyer. A buyer doesn't want to spend that time making complicated calculations. As a seller, you kind of have to simplify the experience.
Right. And the way to do that is volume pricing. With volume pricing, you can provide item discounts for multiple purchases. And you, as the seller, can select the number of purchases needed to qualify for each of the levels of the discount, which you can have up to 3. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it can still work for you. You also can select the amount of that discount for each of the increase in the number of items purchased.
Griff, I suspect that this tactic works best when a seller offers free shipping.
And you'd be right. That's exactly when it works best. But it can also work with calculated or flat shipping where the buyer pays. In those cases, again, you want to focus the buyer's attention on the item price. You don't want to focus them on shipping. This means they have to start negotiating for shipping and they're asking you questions already. These are all big obstacles to making sales. And because we're not currently and probably won't be providing as detailed a tool, primarily because of its complexity, for a seller to set all those different variables, but taking shipping out of the equation is a really smart way to do it. What you do in cases like that, if you're going to offer free shipping, is you're going to put the shipping cost as part of the item price. And you can figure that out based on your own sales, what's going to work best if you decide to test free shipping on some of your listings. But I guarantee you, once you take shipping out of the equation by saying free shipping, although it's not free because you put the shipping or part or whole of the shipping cost into the item price, you're not going to get any questions at all from buyers who are going to say, well, what about shipping? Because they don't have to worry about it. That means that you can manipulate and build into your item discounts exactly those prices to get them to buy more, knowing, like I did, I knew if somebody bought, I think we figured out if they bought 10 bags, that we could put that into a flat rate box. And at that point, I just calculated how much it's going to cost in profit. And I was able to, okay, I'm going to adjust this. The discount is not going to be, it's going to be good, but I'm going to leave some room in here so I can make some money. But when the buyer looks at it, they don't know what your margins are. All they see is, hey, the more of these I buy, the less I have to pay. And, oh, look, it's free shipping. Now they were bags, so they were lightweight. But you can do this with heavier items as well. I got to tell you, I sold out quickly because I hardly sold a single bag. Every buyer bought at least 4 or 5. One buyer bought 20. And I'm sure it was because of the volume pricing. That's my advice.
Bottom line is take that shipping and the math out of the equation for the buyer to the extent that's possible and focus instead on providing purchase discounts on the item.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I should mention, Ed, you did not provide us with a shipping address. If you're listening to this, please send it to us at podcast@ebay.com so we can send you a mug. Now, our next question was sent to podcast@ebay.com by seller Suzanne. Do you mind reading this one? It's not too long.
Happy to. Suzanne writes, A friend who buys and sells vintage and antique Halloween and Christmas items was completely flummoxed and dismayed when she couldn't find the qualifiers that used to help limit results for various years/eras. I assume by qualifier she means the item specifics, Griff? I'm not sure.
I think she means the search refinements that are on the left-hand side, but those are tied to item specifics. The seller sees them as item specifics. The buyer sees them as search refinements.
Got it. Okay, so Suzanne goes on. Why are items lumped into huge categories? It's going to really hurt the market for buying and selling, as most people don't want thousands of results when the actual results should be closer to 100. It's time-consuming and frustrating to buyers and sellers alike. I know I don't have the time to wade through hundreds and hundreds of listings that may not have anything to do with what I am looking for. I'm hoping I'm wrong and just missed something. Thank you. And Griff, have a lovely June off.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne. I am. I'm having a lovely month. So Suzanne, those buy-year search refinements, they're still there. They haven't gone away. Keep in mind that the search refinements displayed to a buyer on the left-hand side are dependent on the category the buyer is in at the moment. I'll give you an example. If you're looking for clothing, which I often look for men's shoes, if I just look in men's clothing, I'm not going to see the search refinements for shoes. If I put in shoes, I'll see some search refinements, but I have to get down to the category of, are they casual, dress, or are they athletic? And then you see those search refinements. They're dependent on the subcategory the buyer selects. If you're searching from a top-level category, then your friend isn't going to see search refinements that are specific to a particular subcategory. And in this case here, your friend is most likely not seeing the by-year search refinements because she's searching on a keyword like Halloween, and she's not limiting or filtering the search to a specific subcategory like collectibles, holiday, seasonal. And that ability to do that is on the top, where it belongs, of search refinements. And I think your buyer was overlooking that.
So once Suzanne's friend has filtered to that holiday category, she'll see all of the relevant search refinements. Is that right?
That's correct. I'll include a screenshot of that very example in the transcript for episode 145.
Thanks again, Suzanne, for the question, and thanks for including your shipping address. As promised, we've sent you an official eBay for Business podcast mug, suitable for all of your beverage choices. And if you'd like a mug, and if you have a pressing question or comment, send it to us. Call it in on 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. And of course, the best part of this with the hotline is you can call it anytime, any day of the week, at your leisure, at your convenience. Just leave a question or a comment and your shipping address, and we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
I think you know what's next, Rebecca, don't you?
Is it the daily to-do list?
Yes, it is.
Number one, check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Number two, start each day with a pledge that when it comes to your business, you will never say no without at least testing out a tool or feature or new business practice to which you would usually respond with that loud no. Give it some thought first.
What do we like to say, Griff? Test and learn.
Test and learn.
And then three, check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links and screenshots we referenced during the episode.
Now, on our next episode, we'll check in with VP of Seller Experience, Harry Temkin, for a quarter update on what's new in the way of seller tools, seller features, and those new seller reports.
Harry, always an audience favorite.
Oh, yes.
This week, we'd like to thank again our guests, Kirsty Dunn, and eBay CMO and Vice President of Seller Community, Andrea Stairs.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.